time for Food Talk. I am so happy to welcome you to Food Talk. And also, I'm Marianne, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I got my apron on.
I know you do, and it's a spectacular one.
It's spice-colored.
It's spice. I know. It's so impressive.
Oh, what a glorious day. I was driving in, and this is really lame, but I was trying to see if I could put myself in a bad mood. I'm like, oh, my dog is really old. You know what I mean? Just all this stuff. But it was so beautiful. Nothing would work. It was impossible. Yeah. It's impossible to resist today.
Today is pretty peachy.
Yeah.
Which it's almost time for our world to be peachy, but not quite.
That was a brilliant segue.
Yeah, moderately amusing. So I wonder a couple of things. First of all, strawberries and cherries.
Oh, yeah.
The stands are out there.
I don't have cherries yet, but I bought a flat of the Hoods. Oh, they're so good. They are just so good. We had them for dinner one night, and then the next night we had them for dessert. We had some actual food, too. But, oh, they're just so good.
They are so good, and I always want to buy flats and do things with them mm-hmm. because you want to be able to have that flavor later in the year because their season is very short compared to how long we want them.
Yeah.
And I can almost never think of anything that is as fabulous as just eating them as fast as possible.
Yeah, I know as fast as possible is right. Do I have to wash them? And like when I am, you know, cleaning them, the little tops with that little teeny tiny bit of strawberry on them, the dogs love that. They get a treat too. A little bit of roughage.
I never offered one to my dogs, but I certainly will now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And cherries. I got to say, I have succumbed to the cherries, which are a little tiny bit early, but really good.
Yeah. Who cares?
I haven't seen any Bings yet, but the Rainiers are out there. And whatever that, I can't remember the name of the other dark cherry that you can mistake for Bing sometimes.
Yeah.
And they have the little pip on the side.
Yeah. I don't know what they're called either, but they're good. But yeah. Rainiers are my favorite. I didn't know that they were here yet. I didn't know that.
Yep, they're here. They're so good. And so no matter where you live, if you are in Clatsop County, and I have to keep reminding myself of that because, you know, we are planet-wide now on Coast Radio.
Hello, world.
Yes. So we hope it's a gorgeous day wherever you are also. But if you are in Clatsop County, there are berry stands and cherry stands out there now, and they are the harbinger of summer.
Yeah, that one stand that's out at the third stoplight in Warrenton.
Yeah,
he said he was going to get some shucksins this week.
Wow!
And I know I say this every year, but those are the berries. To me, they taste as good as Hoods. But if you're going to freeze them, they freeze so much better. The Hoods kind of turn to mush, which is just fine in like a strawberry rhubarb pie because it's going to go mushy anyway. But the shucksins, they hold their shape a lot better when they when they freeze.
Yeah.
And they're also like not as plentiful, harder to get. So anyway, he said he thought he'd have some this week. So
all right, good to know.
Just ask him if you're there.
Yeah. Then don't delay on any of that fabulous stuff, because although once the berry stands pop up, then they keep going with all kinds of berries.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
We just get more and more berries, but
variety.
They're all rare.
Yeah.
And fabulous.
And delicious.
And so you can't really go, oh, you know what? I'm too busy. Maybe in a couple weeks.
Well, yeah. In a couple weeks, it's pork.
That's right. In a couple
That's
weeks.
That's what's fresh.
Linda and I will have eaten all the Hoods and Tough.
Yes, yes.
And we won't have invited you. So go out, drive around on a beautiful day and pick up some berries. But I do fully intend to do some preserving and also some using them in things.
Strawberry jam is so good.
Yes.
It's just, you know, it's so grandma-y, but it's so delicious.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
It's the quintessential jam.
Yeah.
And with the Hoods, a freezer jam is so good because they just taste so fresh in that. So, yeah.
Well, I bought something out of season. Bad, Linda. I bought a watermelon.
Ooh, and?
Oh, no, it was bad. But I went to the store, grocery store, and I bought fresh dill, and I bought two pears, and I bought watermelon, and they went into the grocery bag in that order.
Uh-oh.
You know how, I mean, it's like a car accident. You see that it's happening, but you can't believe it. Why would that guy be on that side of the road? Why would he be putting the watermelon in last? And you're like, well, I guess I'm making something with the watermelon because the other two are not going to survive this trip home.
Oh, God. You had pear puree when you got home?
Yeah, practically.
Oh, God.
It was like all, you know, the little clamshell, the dill comes in. It just hacked, like, you know, gashes in both of them. But I saw this salad on Food 52. That's a blog that I like. A lot of stuff that I make from there turns out, you know, like Ina Garten's cookbooks, a lot of stuff when I make from her cookbooks, they turn out. Yeah. It's not just like there's a couple good recipes in there and a lot of stuff to make them look really unique that they are scary as heck.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Anyway,
we talked about lies on the internet last time.
Yes, yes.
And apparently they still exist. Yes.
There's so many of them, but not at Food 52.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Oh, but anyway, there's a salad that he made and it's watermelon. Watermelon and tomatoes. So now this is not a salad for the faint of heart. If you are thinking, should I make coleslaw or potato salad? Oh, close your ears. Go get a cup of coffee. And it's not made of fruitcake, so you all can put your pens down. But you curry haters, get your pad of paper ready. Get ready to write your letter. Come on over to my house and remind me how much you hate curry. But doesn't that sound weird? It's watermelon and tomatoes, and it's got a curry flavor. And it's nothing I ever would have tried, but the Food 52 people were using words like revelatory, which they don't normally do. So it is called, I wrote it down so that I wouldn't forget exactly, it's called watermelon tomato salad with cumin and fennel.
Oh, man.
So you cut up watermelon and tomato.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And then you put a little bit of lime juice in there, and you choose if you want it sweet or salty. And I chose sweet, which I think was better because I actually did it both ways. But a little bit of sugar. And then you let that sit. And then you grind up a little bit of watermelon so you have some watermelon juice in the blender. And then in a fry pan, you put just a little bit of oil, some fennel seeds, some cumin seeds, some turmeric, some fresh ginger,
ooh,
and I'm forgetting something. Oh, chili pepper to make it spicy, and then some lemon juice. So you've already got lime juice, lemon juice, and then the water that from the ground up watermelon, and you make like a sauce. So it's a warm sauce. You put it over the cold tomatoes and watermelon,
ooh,
and then fresh mint. And everything is so perfectly balanced. It was so interesting. Now, it's not something I would make every day, but it was completely different than anything that I'd ever had, and it wasn't completely different in like the most unfortunate thing I ever made, which had beets and anchovies and cream. That was very different, but not in the same way. it was really good. It had to be eaten kind of right then. It didn't work later because
it's a warm vinaigrette kind of thing.
Well, because of, yes, and because then it does those things that we really don't want adjectives with our food, like congeal or, you know, coagulate. It's kind of why aspic has maybe fallen out of favor.
Although, man, aspic, so good.
But, you know, it's made up of two words, ass and pig. And then you've got those adjectives like congeal.
Perhaps we could call it something else because it is really good.
I know, dinner jello.
I feel a cookbook coming on.
Dinner jello.
I totally feel a cookbook coming on full of things that you and I have had tragedies with and nobody ever once made.
Slumgullion or however you say it. Yeah. My grandmother used to make this jello. It was lime jello with sauerkraut. Oh, she loved jello so much.
What?
I know. When she died at the funeral, we're Catholic family, you know, big Catholic funeral, potluck. There were 27 kinds of jello because she liked them. She loved jello and her cupboards are full of jello when we cleaned out her house. But my dad sat next to the priest and he made him try all 27.
Oh, no. Oh my gosh.
Part of the reason he may not have been universally admired.
My head is still reeling from the whole lime jello and sauerkraut.
Yeah,
thing.
No, sauerkraut.
And what a horrible thing to do to sauerkraut.
Or to children. Sorry, Grandma. Loved all the others. Yeah, it was sauerkraut and shredded carrots. There might have been raisins and then jello.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it wasn't wonderful.
It's queasy. It makes me queasy. That just sounds really horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe you would email the recipe from, what is the name of the blog?
Oh, Food 52.
Yeah,
we'll
give them credit, but we would like to put it on the North Coast Food Web website on the recipe page. Cause
very different, but something to try once, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I like, I love spinach salad with a warm vinaigrette. Mm-hmm. I like salad.
And that's
with
way more normal than this.
Yeah. Even potato salad with a warm vinaigrette is way normal. Yeah. But good. Watermelon salad. I haven't tried it that way.
I love watermelon, but just don't buy it this week. That was a mistake.
I think it's an August kind of thing.
Yes.
I do mourn that, and I probably said this, and if not on the radio, then at least in my food column, I'm sure I have ranted about the dearth of watermelons with seeds. Mm-hmm. I'm sad about not having watermelon.
Because they just, it's so much better.
We can't even choose them anymore.
Yeah,
They've decided what we want. They have decided what we want.
Hey, I had a really interesting conversation with some berry growers over in Forest Grove last year.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Marion berries. Now, we're so famous for them, but the canneries won't take them anymore because they're a berry with thorn.
Oh.
With thorns. And inevitably, a thorn gets in there, somebody eats it, and sues them. And they cannot afford the liability. So even though we're famous for the berry, and it's a delicious berry, they are all going towards the thornless variety just because of the liability, the cost of litigation.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and that's happening with everything, not just our food.
I wonder if, how could you get hurt by a watermelon seed?
Let me think. No. Maybe in a spitting contest if you got one in your eye. I don't even know. Do county fairs still have those? You can't have a watermelon seed spitting contest.
Because there's no watermelon seeds. Oh.
Yeah, I know. So, see, it's a big chain reaction of tragedy anyway.
But the weather's so nice.
The weather's so nice.
Tragedy does not affect me.
Hey, listen, I think you have a Wisconsin story. Do you have a Wisconsin story? We were talking before we went on the air, and you said you were always worried that you have already said.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Living here, you know, there's so much fish, there's so much salmon. We just don't eat a ton of it. And the reason is, I think, that growing up, we didn't eat a lot of fish. You know, we're from the center of the continent. There's no oceans there, Minnesota. And the only fish that we would really eat were these fish fries on Friday. And my parents in the summer, they would take us up to this cabin in Luck, Wisconsin. And there were these old ladies that would, on Friday at noon, they would take their rowboats out on the lake. And they would have their little sun hats on. And they would fish. They would fish for crappies and sunfish. And then they would fry them all up on Friday night. And that's when we would have fish. And it's pretty much the only fish we ever ate except for tuna fish. So my dad, who you may remember was not universally admired because of his maybe lack of, I don't know, compassion, or I don't know, but her just manners. But
maybe he loved Jell-O too.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it might not have been mean.
But this will explain his personality a little more. Along with he had this this deep and abiding love of reptilian taxidermy, and
also
the human skeleton, which is why all through junior high I was nicknamed Wednesday, and my brothers were Pugsley and Pugsley. But we would go up so sad. We would go up to this cabin, and Dad would do this thing that he called exercising the ladies. So he loved.
That just sounds like we shouldn't be talking about it on the radio.
You're right. I never thought about that. But it's innocent. Not really. But not sexual. he loved getting things free. And he had this friend. And they would always walk the railroad tracks in our little town looking for things that had, you know, fallen off the trains. And once they found this 30-gallon barrel of ball bearings. What are you going to do with that? My dad is not mechanically inclined in any way. But what he did was he had a wrist rocket that's that kind of slingshot, you know, that has like a little pouch on the back. And he made a bigger pouch, a bigger leather pouch. And he would take that wrist rocket with him up to the cabin, and then a little coffee can full of these ball bearings. And Friday at lunchtime, he would announce to Mom, I'm going to go exercise the ladies. And he would take a 6-pack of beer and his wrist rocket and this coffee can of ball bearings. And he would go sit in the bushes alongside the lake. And the ladies would be out there in their rowboats, and they were catching all the fish for the fish fry. And my dad would load up his slingshot, and he'd shoot it about 50, 100 feet from the ladies, and it would go ping, 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 as it, you know, plunk, 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 as it landed in the water. And the ladies would go, oh, fish! And they'd row over there, and they'd all drop their lines, and Dad would go, oh, and he'd crack open a beer, and he'd drink the beer. And then he'd load up his wrist rocket, and he'd shoot it back where they were before, and they fish, and they row, row, row back to where they were before, and he drink another beer, and that's how my dad exercised the ladies.
Oh my gosh! I am so sorry that I never got to meet your dad. I am very sorry about that.
He's very eccentric.
If you are just tuning in, don't be alarmed. I guess that would be the first thing I'd say to you. But I am always pleased to remind you that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. This is Food Talk. I'm Marianne. I'm here with Linda Perkins, and we're just talking about home cooking and also exercising the ladies.
What have you made lately? Anything that's stuck in your brain?
Well, I got A+ on dinner recently.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that? I didn't realize that probably for all these decades I've been silently graded on dinner, and
oh my
I didn't
gosh.
Know it.
I should do that. I should put report cards out on the table and see what happens.
No, I was like, first of all, I was gratified, and then I was like, I don't really want to know this information.
I know.
I think just the silence is golden. But anyway, I think that I haven't done anything really spectacular. I think often that the appreciation of food is experiential. You know, it's related to the moment, and also directly related to how hungry the person you're feeding is.
Well, and I don't think we're looking for spectacular. But what did you get an A+ on?
Not on a daily basis. Well, I think mostly on the Caesar salad.
No, Caesar salad's so good.
Yeah, and the homemade Caesar dressing is really, really, really good. I think it is already
it is
on
already.
The website.
Yep, you have such a good dressing.
If you haven't done it, it is egg-free, so it's not vegan because it's got to have Parmesan in it, and you cannot not put that in there, but it is really garlicky.
It would be dressing, not Caesar dressing.
Yeah, it would be dressing, like most Caesar salads you get somewhere else are just dressing. Anyway, I think that Caesar is so, there are so few ingredients in it that they all have to be really good. Mm-hmm. It has to be fresh squeezed lemon juice. It has to be really good olive oil. It has to be I think Parmigiano Reggiano. It has to be.
Mm-hmm. It matters.
It totally matters. You need to grate it. You don't want to buy a tub of that stuff. So that's all. I guess that I'm
nice.
Off, but I think it was mostly that.
Well,
that
and then did you
it.
Use lettuce that was
yeah,
new
like,
grown? Not
yeah,
like.
Fabulous. Well, I didn't grow it. I think that's another rant I've done. I don't know whether it's been on this radio station or whether it was in print, but if I have to grow it, catch it, dig it, shoot it, fish for it, we would never eat anything. I want it to show up in my kitchen, and I will clean it and cook it.
I don't have the big, vast garden at all. I mean, we all know my gardening skills are limited, and hence the magazine that I have founded, Abandoned Homestead. But there's two things that I have in the summer and the spring. I have a big pot of lettuce because it's so easy, you can't kill it. And the other thing is sporadically amongst the weeds, there are herbs. And those are the two things that I just really like having on hand.
Yeah.
Lettuce, you can't kill. It's not like something that you have to tend to.
And you can just do it in a couple pots and have it in rotation because otherwise it bolts. And I mean, you plant a row of lettuce and you're a household of two, you're not going to get to the end.
Yeah, no, it's just two bowls.
So, yeah.
That's all. Just two lettuce bowls. That's all.
That's a really good.
But I like
that,
it.
That's a good way. I like that too. And I love an herb garden, which is once you get it going, it's fairly low maintenance.
Yes.
It's low water, and you can use it all the time.
And you'll kill some stuff, but some stuff will live, and then you'll have it.
Yeah, I think that's called gardening.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am reminded that the fabulous John Stevenson, who hosts Lost Highways right after this show, and actually after every community fair show during on Monday, has asked us, and we forgot last time, to talk about convection ovens and what makes them special and why we would want one.
Yeah, see, I want to count him as a fan, but he has to listen because his show is next, so I don't know if he counts.
I'm not sure he counts, but I did notice that there was a letter in the Current this time from somebody who liked Food Talk, and I figured that we could round up from 9.5 to 10 now.
Oh, yay!
I don't know if that's the same person. You know, we don't know if they're unique individuals.
Somebody called in before, And just to be fair, I mean, I'm counting as fans the people who hate curry and hate.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you chimed in, you're a fan in our book.
You touched me. You like me.
Anyway, convection ovens. Yeah. You have one, right?
Yes, I really like them. And I like them best for baking. So a convection oven, what it does different than a regular oven is it just moves the air around. So, you know, like if you're baking a cookie, and the cookie in a regular oven, it gets darker on the outside, and then where it's thicker in the middle because you want that dough ball to spread, but it hasn't really yet, it's much lighter. And it's just because if you think about the smallest, tiniest little weather system there, I don't know of another word, but I know there's got to be another word, where the cookie's really thin, the heat is affecting it more, and it's baking so that it's hotter on the edges, and then the air around it is hotter, but in the middle, the dough is thicker, and it's cooler, and so the air around it is cooler. So it doesn't cook evenly. The middle of the cookie is quite doughy and the outside is quite done. And so what a convection oven does is it just moves that air around so you don't have that little micro cooling of air. If you stick a frozen pie in a regular oven, it's going to cool the air around it. But if you put it in a convection oven, then that hot air is moving around it and it'll just bake a lot faster and a lot more evenly. If you have cookies in a regular oven halfway through, you have to put the top sheet on the bottom sheet on
That's
the top
right.
and move them back to front.
Spin them around.
Yeah. And you don't have to do that in a convection oven. And so it's just really convenient, and especially baked goods turn out better.
And it's faster.
Yes.
So it saves time.
Yep.
You know, I got a brand new stove when we built our house a few years ago. Not really all that long ago, but I got a brand new stove, and I got one of those ones that doesn't require a hood, you know, those, because I didn't want to, my kitchen is essentially in my living room, and I wanted to be able to see the river.
Yeah.
So that was all really good, and it was brand new, so I just, and I had looked in the, done some research, and I knew that I had a convection oven, which it turns out I don't have a convection oven.
Oh, no.
I know. Sorry. And how long must a person keep a stove before they can justifiably replace it with another new stove? I'm nowhere near that because my stove does what I ask it to do, but man, I really would love to have a convection oven.
They're nice. They are nice.
They are very
And in my house, I have two ovens. One is a convection oven and one isn't. And so I'm able to compare them directly.
And
so it really does matter.
Are there any things at all that you do in the oven that you prefer a standard oven for?
Well, not that I prefer, but I will use it for things that are covered. So like I bake my bread in a covered vessel and then stews and stuff like that. I will do that because usually if I'm doing something like that, I need the other oven for something else.
Uh-huh.
And so anything covered, it doesn't really matter. And then meat less so is less affected than baked goods.
Well, a braise is often a low slow cook anyway, and so it doesn't, you expect it to take a while.
Yeah, and I think you've got the heat rising up from the liquid that's simmering, and so I don't think that it's affected very much.
Yeah.
But my oven has, Don Young pointed this out to me, I didn't even know, has that, and I've talked about that before, that button that convection roast. And boy, howdy, that makes good crunchy potatoes, french fries, stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, and vegetables too. If you're roasting vegetables, they just turn out so much better.
Well, I wonder what it does differently than regular.
I actually have no idea.
Okay.
And if you have that button, try it on some vegetables or potatoes if you're roasting them. Boy, it's good.
Okay.
I made some Hasselback potatoes.
Did you?
Do you ever make them?
We do them in cooking classes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
And there's, I believe, a really good recipe from the classes on the website. I should remind you that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. So if you go to northcoastfoodweb.org, you'll see a recipe a little button. And I think that our class, we'll double check with the fabulous Wendy D'Agostino, who runs the kitchen and the class program, to make sure that our recipe is up there. But I got it out of a really great cookbook called Sheet Pan Suppers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a Hasselback potato, but it is an entree potato. So you're putting like sliced garlic and garlic cloves and a little of olive oil and salt and pepper in the Hasselbacks and roasting them until they're almost done, and then adding marinara and mozzarella and meat if you want, like prosciutto or anything you want.
Well, if you don't know a Hasselback potato, you have a potato and you slice it almost all the way through so that on the very bottom it's all connected and it ends up, so you like slice, very thin, and it ends up kind of looking like an accordion.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I put mine in a spoon. I have just a crappy plastic spoon, but a wooden spoon works, or you can put two chopsticks alongside of it. And then you have a chop, you can chop your knife down to it and it won't go all the way through the potato. Yeah. And that's an easy way to do it.
And then as it bakes, it fans out a little bit.
Yeah. You were talking about that sheet pan cookbook. Oh my gosh. I went to the Pacific County, just across the bridge over there. Their Humane Society had a garage sale.
Yeah.
Last week, and they called it the garage sale because it's dogs and cats. I thought that was cute. But there was a woman who donated cookbooks to the sale. They had so many cookbooks.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
And so I asked the lady, because, I mean, there were probably 150 cookbooks. I'm like, where did you get all these cookbooks? And there were all those, like, community, church lady, Spiral Bond ones, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you haven't seen anything. We have more than 100 cases in back. And so this woman donated, like, 5,000 of these cookbooks to the garage sale. And it's not an estate. You know, she said she collected them. She loved them, but it was just time to let them go. But my heart.
How many did you bring home?
I didn't. I was completely overwhelmed. Completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But isn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, 100 cases of cookbooks. That's, I mean, just like a dream.
All right. I feel so much better about myself.
I know I did too.
So much better about myself. I'm at the point where I have to get rid of one in order to have another one, because really I cannot justify it.
There's not room on the bookcase.
Yeah,
says.
And really. Oh, my gosh. But... I have bought so many of those fundraising kind of cookbooks mm-hmm. for all kinds of wonderful organizations in every place I've ever lived around mm-hmm. the country. I'm a big fan of that as a fundraiser because I cook, but it is one of those kinds of things, like getting a recipe off the...
Yes.
Where
you
it's
don't
kind
know.
Of a crapshoot.
Yes. Because, and it's not that they're liars like the internet.
No.
You are a liar, the internet, but it's the that you don't know the level of skill of the person, because you can get really good recipes because they say, give us your best recipe, we're going to do a cookbook. But it
yes.
might be my mom's best recipe, which involves 3 cans and the microwave. You know?
And it involves sauerkraut and lime jello. Really? That is like, there are some things you can't unsee, and then there are some things you can't unhear.
And it was as a child that I had it, so I couldn't have given it a fair, I have no idea if it was good or not, because, you know, just I heard the word sauerkraut and went, you know.
Yeah. And I actually think that was just your flight or flee, yeah, you know, your flight or fight thing kicking in there to protect you, because really that was misguided.
Yeah.
And then that's the most generous way I can think of saying. But yeah, that is the thing. And I think that's why when we find a cookbook, like you say, Ina Garten's cookbooks, mm-hmm. I think the same thing about the Silver Palette Girls.
Somebody that resonates with you.
Well, and yeah. where you have tried many recipes mm-hmm. and they have all been spot
yep.
on, and you suddenly realize, I can trust these people.
Yep. It works. They're not showing
yeah.
off. Yeah, it
yeah.
works. Yeah.
And so you feel welcome to try a new recipe out of there
yeah.
and actually feed it to someone.
Yeah, yeah. Not scared.
Yeah, I know. I am working on a cookbook that I've been threatening to do for a long time based on all the years of Hipfish, but I am having to test
nice.
Recipes. And it's
test
very
on me.
Okay.
Test on me.
Well, we should put an invitation out there, and anybody who wants to be a guinea pig. But I will say that it's very tedious. But the people who have done it right, I so appreciate as
yes.
a person who uses a cookbook. Linda Perkins, it's 10 o'clock.
No.
Yes, it is. So I am moved to remind everyone that it is that this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org. We're on the internet, and we are on your mobile using the TuneIn app. We're going to send you off here to NPR News headlines in just a few seconds, and then John Stevenson is here to bring you, you know, the ever wonderful Lost Highways. We hope you have a wonderful sunny day wherever you are. And if you are in Clatsop County, get berries.
Exercising the ladies.
Linda, thank you.
Thank you, Marianne.